I did see one theory. People said that because it was Sam Johnstone in goal, he plays for England. Maybe Saka felt like maybe I should skip this one because Saka did take the ball and then gave it to Odegaard.
That
Don't
is true.
know.
They do use the backup keepers to practice pens in
They
training a
do.
lot. So, yeah.
And Arsenal play Fulham next week. So that's Burn Leno. So maybe Burn Leno knows where Odegaard goes. So then Odegaard passes to Havertz. I don't know.
Leno knows where all the Arsenal players are going to kick their pants to.
Oh, but he doesn't know
We
Havertz
get a
yet,
new
see?
signing, yeah, like Havertz.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FPL Banger Show. My name is Siva. I'm joined by Sam for the Game Week 3 preview. How's the first 2 weeks been, Sam?
Not the best for me. I don't have Mbeumo, don't have Brighton players, zero Brighton players. So not the best, but I think I'm ranked like 3 mil or something like that, which is okay, I guess. I can work with this. I can work with this and move up.
I have Mbeumo, Sam. I have Triple Brighton. All these things that I told you. But I'm not interested in checking rank. I would advise you not to check rank. Join me. Like, I don't know my rank today. I didn't know my rank after Game Week 1. I feel so free. Like, I look at my team, it looks nice. I don't want to know my rank, mate. Why do you need
I'm a
to know
chill
your
guy.
rank?
I'm a chill guy. It doesn't affect me at all. Like, my rent's 3 mil, so what? Let's just move on.
I like that. I see some people. I saw FPL Harry that day. So, you know, famous YouTube guy, right? He's posting on Twitter after like the first weekend, like first Saturday of fixtures. And he's saying, my rank has not gone up. I don't understand why. And he's listing down all these factors of all the guys he's got. Why isn't it going? And people are just saying, dude, it's Game Week 2, mate. Chill out. Like,
Yeah,
yeah. Just relax, mate.
I am relaxed. I'm chill.
Yeah, rank really doesn't matter at this stage. I guarantee you there are millions of people just burning chips, triple captains, bench boosts, and all that. Just let it all play out and just you know,
Yeah,
take your
and I
time.
think at this stage, like 5 points can probably give you like I don't know 1 million up in the rankings or something like that. You know, the differences are so minute at this stage. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I mean, that day at halftime, I was like, why isn't Brian and Bomo scored already? And then by the end of the game, I was on my knees celebrating. I just
Shall we get into it, Siva?
Yes, let's talk about. I thought the most interesting fixture of the week, Sam, your team, Manchester United, losing 2-0 at Spurs. What did you think? Because there's a lot of, I would say, commotion and panic. We've got a question later, which I can address now, I think, from FPL Hafiz about whether you should hold on to Rashford and Bruno or sell Rashford and Bruno before Forest, which seems insane. But people are doing it.
I'm keeping Rashford. I have Rashford. I don't have a double up though. If I have a double up, I would sell one, I think.
Before
It's not that
Forest?
they have a bad fixture coming up. Of course, you know, team dependent. If the weakest link in your team is a United player, a Manchester United player, then I would sell if I had doubled up. But I would think most people have other fires to fight in your team. So, you know, you may have Gabriel, you may have other players who got injured and stuff like that. But yeah, I would. I would sell for someone like Mbeumo, actually. Because he has equally good fixtures and a longer run of good fixtures coming up. Anyway, back to the game. I would say I expected this. I was curious to see if United had, with the new signings and things like that, have changed. Because last season, there's a stat going around that we have won zero away games against the top nine. Means the other top 10 teams besides United, we have won zero away games in the entire of last season. And it looks like the trend is continuing. An away game against another top nine team doesn't look good. We did have chances though. As you can see, Fernandes posted decent XG, oh, good XG actually, 0.84 is pretty good. Decent XA, 0.54. Just not finding the finishing touches. I think until we get a proper striker and move Rashford out to the left wing, it's just going to continue like this. And even then, I don't know if we can reverse the trend of just performing really badly against good teams when we're away. So yeah, I'm not surprised that we lost.
I suppose let's deal with them one by one. Let's talk about Rashford first, because I think most people, like you and I both have Rashford, but we don't have Bruno. And I think most people only have one have Rashford. I'm annoyed at the first two blanks because he's clearly not playing in his best position. And it's, I don't get why we all feel like this, but Ten Hag doesn't feel that way. But at the same time, like my feeling is that if United ever do click and Forest at home is as good a game as you'll get, Rashford has to be involved. And almost certainly he'll be the one who gets the goal. So the XG is still pretty decent. Yeah.
I mean, he is involved. Bruno is involved. They've just been unlucky to not get that finishing goal. However, it's not like a one-off thing where you can say, oh, they were just unlucky. If it happens in one game, they're unlucky. If it happens in 10 games, 15 games in a row, and then it's a trend, you know, something needs to be done. But like you said, a home against Forest, notoriously bad away from home. Forest, I mean, right? They only so this is not the fixture to sell, I guess.
Yeah,
I would only do it if I have like two transfers, you know, and no, your team is perfect, you got nothing else to do, and you have Bruno and Rashford, then maybe I would move down, would sell Bruno maybe. Because I still feel that, like you said, if we were to score a goal, Rashford will be most likely the one scoring it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay if you have two frees and you're selling Bruno to downgrade somebody and then improve somewhere else. Maybe that makes sense. But I really, like, I don't own Bruno and I'm still scared going into this weekend because, all honestly, he should have had a pen, right? The United should have had a pen in the first half. That Romero handball is as obvious as it gets. He had enough chances. He came so close. I feel, against, and that's against Spurs, away. He's going to have more chances against Forest. I'm not a big XG guy, but just go watch the highlights. You'll see that he really, you know, on another day, he comes away with double digits. We're not talking about this. So I think people are just panicking too much. I think at the start of the season, you looked at United's fixtures. Why did you have United attack? Because they play Wolves in Game Week 1 and Forest in Game Week 3. That's what you went in for. So you can't, you don't jump out before the fixture turns. I think you jump out Game Week 4 when they play Arsenal. That's fine. But I don't see a need to sell this week. And I don't, I like Mbeumo. I have Brian Mbeumo. But I don't think home Palace is such a good fixture that you have to sell United playing Forest.
It's not that big of an upgrade, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, It's a good fixture for him, but not necessarily a lot better than United. Not necessarily worth, you know, a hit or something like that.
Yeah. So I think ultimately United did create a lot of chances. And it's just one of those days where it didn't go in. I mean, Spurs' goals were very circumstantial, almost like the just weird kind of goals, right? Papissa's goal from a cutback, and then Ben Davies, the most bizarre sort of own goal from Lisandro.
And immediately people saw Lisandro, his price dropped today.
anyway, I mean, their defense does look suspect, and I mean, the issues with United, I think, aren't fake, right? I mean, clearly they don't know what to do with Mason Mount, and it's not working, whatever this is. Like, I think Mount had 0.03 XA and no shots at all. Like he's not contributing anything in the defensive phase. He's not contributing going forward. So I don't know what the plan is. But even though those are issues, I still don't think you sell the two big attackers before Forest.
Yeah, yeah. If you have other United assets, though, go I have Garnacho. Because he was cheap, and I predicted that he would start at least the first few games. And I was right, exactly. He did start the first two. It's just that we didn't get anything from it. But, you know, it's only 5.0. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Do you think they beat Forest?
Do you think... I think so. We have to, right? If we don't score against Forest at home and sell United assets, man, something is really wrong with them.
Yeah, then you said, well, the clear conscience, I think, yeah. Spurs. Let's just touch on Spurs before we move on. So, start of the season, you know, we discussed this. If Kane leaves, Richarlison's going to be amazing. Kane has left, and as far as I can tell, Richarlison's biggest contribution is refusing to shake Antonio's hand.
I'm happy I didn't jump on Richarlison. I was really tempted. I went up to Madison. Worked out last week, this week. I mean, he's still really involved, right, Madison, throughout the whole game. The heart of every Spurs attack. He did come off injured though, and we're still waiting on news. Perhaps by the time this pod is out, you guys will already know how that turns out. But right now, we have no idea how bad it's going to be.
yeah, left the pitch in protective boots. So
yeah,
if it doesn't look good for Maddison, where do you go?
I'm going down to Mbeumo, maybe March. Well, I'm sure we'll get to Brentford and Brighton eventually, but yeah, I'm definitely moving down to someone else.
And what do you do if you have Richarlison?
Good fixtures coming up. I would keep, I guess, because they're not going to drop him, I think. So
reluctant, you don't hold, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
And hope it gets better. Palace Arsenal. Okay, so this we are recording just after Palace v Arsenal. So I did see this, and it is hard. I keep saying this about Arsenal games, but it's really hard to draw conclusions. Like the first game, Arsenal looked a bit lethargic, didn't really get out of second gear. This game, first half looked really good, like we dominated it. But then the red card happens in the second half. And from there on in, the game plan entirely changed. Once the red card happened, Arteta went into sort of, okay, we are holding this. So he took off all the fast guys. He took off Saka, he took off Odegaard, he took off Martinelli. And then we just went full on defensive. Brought on Jorginho, Kiwior, Gabriel was already on. And we just held on. Havertz played at the nine towards the end. And we just didn't want to give the ball away. So I don't know how much you can really draw from this, but I found it interesting that Odegaard took the pen and Arteta afterwards said, I didn't know he was going to take the pen. The players decided by themselves, which is, I mean, only Arteta and Pep can be this chill about penalties. Like I remember when Pep used to not have a designated penalty taken. Random people were taking it. Rodri took one and Edison
was hoping, yeah.
Arteta has picked up all of Pep's worst habits. You know, all of the attackers now don't feel like they're nailed for 90 minutes. Nobody knows who's on pens. I'm really annoyed. What do you think about Arsenal? And has this changed your view on Odegaard going forward?
I still think Saka is the best Arsenal asset to have. Simply because he's guaranteed to play. I think I saw a stat. This is his 82nd match played for Arsenal in a row. Which is insane if you think he has been injured in this 80. They're still playing him even though he's injured, you know. He's still coming on. But yeah, 82, 83 matches in a row played for Arsenal. Which is kind of crazy. You can respect that kind of availability, especially for FPL. And Saka kind of is a season keeper, I think. It's hard to predict when he will score, when the other Arsenal assets will score, but you can be sure at the end of the season, Saka will end up with something like, I don't know, 170, 180 points, somewhere around there, maybe more. Yeah. I'll be happy still holding them. I'm worried about Martinelli, though. We know very well that as long as Nketiah starts, Martinelli's points tend to dry up. You watched the game, Siva. How involved was Martinelli?
It's really hard. Martinelli, yeah, like you say, he doesn't link up as well with Nketiah as he does with Jesus. I think that's noticeable. In fact, I would say the entire left flank sort of doesn't, something about it just wasn't clicking. Nketiah does a lot of stuff for the team in terms of like poaching and scoring goals and getting to good positions, but he doesn't seem to link up play the same way that Jesus does. So therefore, Martinelli had one or two chances. There was one really good chance where Havertz set him up. He was open, but he insisted on taking it on his right foot. So by the time he switched to the other foot, everybody had come back and blocked him off. So I still wouldn't sell Martinelli because it's Fulham next. And we saw what Fulham did against Brentford. They conceded three. And that wasn't an outlier because on Game Week 1, Fulham conceded almost 3xG against Everton. Yeah, it's only because Maupay couldn't convert. So we said that last week and I think it came through this week. So I think you hold Martinelli. He only came off because we were down to 10 and we needed to hold on. So I think in the normal course of events, he starts again. He's probably good for 70 to 80, maybe even 90 minutes, you know. And he's still, I still think he's, in terms of open play threat, after Saka and maybe after Nketiah, but Nketiah is a minutes risk, which is a separate issue. I still think Martinelli is third. I would say he's ahead of Odegaard and Havertz. Odegaard had nothing from open play. You can see the shot map on the screen now. It's that penalty is the only reason we're talking about Odegaard. Otherwise, it's all about Martinelli and Saka. So I think I wouldn't be stressed if you hold Martinelli. I would hold and just give it another week.
What about Arsenal defense, Siva?
Great performance. I think the red card somehow helped us. We focused a lot more. We were, we, you know, backs to the wall, kept the clean sheet. But if you own Gabriel, I really feel sorry for you because Arteta's really just messing with us now. I don't get why Gabriel didn't start.
I think it's because Arteta is doing that whole party at right back, kind of coming in into DM. So therefore, he only has three defenders left. He needs the center one will have to be Saliba. And the ones on the right and left needs to be able to play a kind of hybrid role where they're center backs, but yet able to kind of play like a full back if needed. So White is on the right and on the left, Tomiyasu, but he's red carded now. So we'll see how that goes. Zinchenko, I would think, would be the ideal player there. Who is still injured, right? I think.
No, he came on. Towards the end, so he did get some minutes. So he arguably could, and I would say really should start. He could play Kiwior if he's looking for a Tomiyasu replacement. Kiwior's can play left center back, so he can do that sort of hybrid if you need be.
Yeah, and I think Gabriel just can't. He just can't play in that role.
He's a pure center back. I want to think, it's really hard, you know. I think even Arsenal fans will find it difficult now to predict if Gabriel starts the next one. I think given that Tomiyasu has been sent off and given that Timber's injured, you probably have as good a chance of Gabriel starting this week as you would. But ultimately, he's probably a sell going forward. So if you need to start him this week, I would give him one last shot, but definitely not a long-term hold.
I think as long as Arteta wants to play the 3-box-3, Gabriel's probably not starting unless he's moving up the left back into the midfield instead of Partey on the right back, you know, which is what he did last season, right? But it's really uncertain. I think it's time to sell Gabriel if you have.
Yeah, I think one thing I would say is game week 3, I mean, depends on what your team looks like, but I think a lot of us have heavy benches or teams that, you know, benching issues this week. So if you need to bench Gabriel, I would be okay with that. Like center back, his only real goal scoring threat is from corners. So I think if you needed to gamble, you know, then I would just, maybe you can gamble with playing someone else if you're a bit too concerned about minutes.
All right.
Yeah. Or if you have nothing else to do with transfers, just buy Saliba, who's decided that now he's a bonus points monster. It's very annoying.
Oh, but you're outpriced. You can't do Gabriel straight to Saliba.
Well, this is why you keep money in the bank, Sam.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Good advice.
Let's talk West Ham Chelsea.
Before we go, right? Is it me or did every single match have a red card and a pen?
A lot of red cards this week. Yeah, I don't get why. I think referees just getting bored a bit. Some of these red cards, I mean, the McAllister red card was a bit weird. Like, I mean, I hate Liverpool, but that's not a red card, mate.
Yeah, I agree. It was too soft.
This one was, though. I mean, I forgot. Definitely a second yellow. I was very suspicious about all of the yellow cards that West Ham got in this game for reasons that, you know, you could go read about.
Only the ones Paqueta got.
Paqueta, I mean, you need to go back and look at the highlights, but Paqueta did get a yellow card in this game from tackling somebody. He didn't get the yellow card. It was called as a foul. He went up to the referee, argued, and then got his yellow card. And so everyone's like, oh, he's cashing out.
Yeah. It's a little bit fishy. But anyway,
Lucas Paqueta, I'm sure he denies all the charges and we're not saying anything. So let's move on. Okay, so 3-1. What did you think of this? Because I think I saw a tweet on that day about how we all wanted Chelsea to be better than we actually expected them to be better. So, you know, along those lines. Is that how you really felt after watching this? Like, we were maybe just hoping Chelsea would be awesome by game week 3?
Yeah, I think maybe the first game made them look better than they are. And when they are up against a more solid... Because the first game was really open, right? Both sides were just going at it nonstop. When they're up against a more compact team, maybe the old issues would resurface. However, if you're going by stats, you know, they did have a good... But that's XG, you got to minus out the pen, right? So open play XG is kind of equal, I would say. Maybe a little bit lower than West Ham. Still more than enough for them to score. It's tough. I mean, if Enzo put away that pen, will we have seen a different game where they'll be more solid? It's so hard to tell with these kind of things.
I mean, that felt like the momentum change. I think the first half, apart from the goal, which West Ham scored early on from the corner, James Ward-Prowse, by the way, great debut, right? I mean, set piece...
specialist.
Yeah, set piece specialist. And his the second assist also from open play was amazing. But Yeah, Chelsea dominated first half, and up to the point of the awarding of the penalty, like you thought, okay, they score now and they're going to go and win this. But it was a really bad penalty. It's funny, right? Because we said Enzo might be on pens. He was on pens.
You said something like he's never missed a penalty in his career or something like that.
I qualified it.
You jinxed it, Siva. You jinxed it. You jinxed it.
He's never missed in a regular game. He has missed in penalty shootouts. I went back and watched. Like in the World Cup quarterfinal, he misses against Netherlands. Argentina still got through. And he didn't take one in the final. So maybe that was playing on his head. Either way, it was a bad pen. I think he's off pens. We can park that theory. And now I think we have no idea who's on pens. Because, I mean, Sterling's bad at them and Jackson has never taken them. So we'll see. But second half, Chelsea were awful.
Too well.
I don't think they
gave too well on pens. Yeah, come on.
He subbed off. Here's the weird thing, right? He subbed off Ben Chilwell around 60 minutes. He subs off Chilwell so that he can play Cowell at left back and play Mudryk at left wing. Mudryk offered nothing. And I don't know. I mean, I am actually concerned about Chelsea. And I kept saying that I wouldn't be worried about whatever this result was because I told myself they're playing Luton this week. And their fixtures are amazing right after this. Play Luton Forest next. You want Chelsea for that game. I suddenly feel less confident. I'm having second thoughts about Nicholas Jackson. Am I allowing too much of this result to get into my thoughts?
Yeah, I think so, Siva. You have to remember that West Ham, although they did not do well in the Premier League last season, I think a lot of it was due to injuries, key injuries. I think Naif Aguerd was out for a majority of the season, which decimated their defense. He's their best defender. And they did go on to win Europa. I think you have to also remember it is a derby. It's a London derby. And they were away. It's not an easy game for Chelsea to go to. Next up, they have two home games against Luton and Forest. Maybe the two best fixtures you can have in the entire league, right? Home games against Forest, against Luton. You got to keep the faith, I think.
So would you buy a Chelsea player this week?
I'm happy with Jess Chilwell. And I have Gusto. I have Malo Gusto, so I'm happy with them. I'm not going to get Nico Jackson. I think going a triple up on them is a bit too much faith. I have some faith. Faith enough to keep them, but not enough to triple up on them.
If you didn't have Gusto, if you just had Chilwell, like I have just Chilwell, I think a lot of people still only have Chilwell. Would you be okay with going for Jackson? Because Jackson, you can see the stats on the screen. Decent XG again. Good XG in the first game and second game. Hasn't scored yet. I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, is it he just needs the right break? Is it just
Chelsea,
the opposition's hard?
Chelsea striker curse.
Yeah, man. I mean, does it, even if you run away from that number 9 shirt, like, it will find you.
Yeah, as long as you're playing in the number 9 role, the only person who's ever been able to overcome is Diego Costa, I think.
Yeah,
but anyway, I don't know. It depends who you're selling for Jackson.
Most people. Yeah, I mean, okay. You're gonna say, I think we'll assume that you're gonna say if you're selling Watkins, don't do it. So,
I think I have Watkins, right? And I think most people are planning to sell Watkins for Jackson, but he has returned two games in a row. I know it feels underwhelming because it's just assists, right? And no bonus points, 5.5 points. But I mean, if you look further down the season, imagine looking at it at the end of the season, you're not going to complain about a player returning two games in a row.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he still have good fixtures coming up. Burnley,
well, they play
away.
Burnley. That's not too bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
After that, it gets a bit tighter.
Liverpool away, okay, that may be tough. But then after that, you know, Palace, Chelsea, Brighton, Wolves, West Ham, Luton, Forest. Why are Luton and Forest always side by side? Fulham. So, I mean, when we bought Watkins at the start of the season, you knew that you're getting him for the long-term run of fixtures, not for the first three games or first two games or whatever it is. So, I think stick with the plan if you have Watkins. I'm keeping him.
Okay, so you'd hold Watkins, but let's talk about, you don't have him, but this is for, you know, people like me, João Pedro. So
you want to upgrade up? I would.
Yeah, João Pedro got benched this week, ahead of schedule. I did keep money in the bank for this eventuality, so I'm okay with it.
You have enough money to go João Pedro straight to Jackson.
I've got enough money to go up to, I mean, the Watkins if I needed to. Honestly, I was quite prepared for this. I was quite paranoid.
Oh, because you saw KDB from Bermo. All right. Yeah.
Okay, let's move away from my team. I think you can assume most people who are asking this question, because I see this question quite a bit, people have some cash left. So do you go to Nicholas Jackson or do you go to a different forward? Or do you go to, you know, because we've got a few, right? We've got Isak, you've got Alvarez, you've got Wissa. Who'd you go for? Ooh.
Alvarez is tempting, but there's lots of talk on City signing...
Doku.
Yes, Jeremy Doku. They've already signed him?
They've got the here we go.
Okay, all right then. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know when he'll come. He probably won't play this week. But next week, the following weeks, we don't know how soon Pep will plan to integrate him into the squad. And Doku is a great player, I would say. He is a really good dribbler. Seems like this is what Pep wants, you know. This is what he likes with his wingers. Great ball retention ability. I don't know if that will affect... I won't say I don't know. We know it will affect Alvarez's potential minutes, you know, expected minutes and things like that. So before the news on Doku, I was quite keen to go Alvarez. Now I'm not sure again.
But Doku, I mean, we're trying to analyze Pep. It's pointless, right? But Doku is a winger. Alvarez has been playing mostly through the center where KDB used to play. I mean...
Before then is there now. And then you have to remember that Bernardo Silva was injured for this game. He will be back the next game. So that really complicates things. After the performance, I was really tempted, you know, by Foden and by Alvarez. But when you step back and think about it, you know, with Bernardo Silva coming back, Doku coming in, it does get a bit tough again to predict. And you never know. Pep is not the kind of guy who will be like, oh, he played well last week, so I will play him again this week. Now that don't work. Pep doesn't work like that.
Pep is like, he played well, he scored, but he gave me a funny look later and I don't like him. He's never playing again.
He played well, he scored, but he made this one run that I did not want him to make. So he's on the bench, you know? Yeah. Or he did not make this one run that I wanted him to make. Something like that. So yeah, City, no go for me. I would consider Isak though. I know a lot of people are saying about Newcastle's assets. However, I think attacking-wise, at home against Liverpool, who can't keep a clean sheet, who can't defend, and then Brighton, Brentford, Sheffield. I mean, I would be okay with a Newcastle striker, I think.
Nah, mate. I mean, if you think Alvarez is not nailed, just wait until you get Isak, mate. I mean, Isak's competing with Callum Wilson.
Isak is nailed for 60 minutes and Callum Wilson is nailed for the remainder of the game.
So nailed with the chance of substitution. What is this?
He's nailed to start. He's nailed to start. And he's also nailed to be substituted.
Okay.
I think it's good though. I think Newcastle are really going to surprise people with how well they're going to do over the next few games, which then extends to how well Isak and Wilson will do the next few games.
Okay. If you don't go Isak, like if for you know people like me who maybe are still very skeptical about minutes, right? What did you think about Yohan Wissa against Fulham?
It looks like he's nailed. I was slightly worried because I know in preseason there were some games where he didn't start and they played, but you know, so hard to tell. After two games, I'm pretty sure that he is nailed. And he's cheap. He's 6, right? Or maybe 6.1 by now.
6.1 by now.
Yeah, so his nail looks good. Brentford, good fixtures coming up. I'll be happy to get Wissa.
I started the week thinking there's no way I would want to double up on Brentford attack. But as we get closer to Friday, I'm starting to think that everybody's going to have Brian Mbeumo this week because he got 16 points. So therefore, the only way you benefit from this Brentford attack is you have to go get Yohan Wissa.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I would not be against Brentford double up. They look really good attacking-wise.
Great fixtures. I mean, Palace, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Everton, Forest, the next five. That's pretty decent. Mm-hmm. He does seem to come off, though. Like, he doesn't seem to play 90. Seems to come off around 70, 75.
Yeah, but he seems to do something. Even since last season, you know?
Yeah. But I'm assuming that's more fitness-related. He was quite brittle. Like, I remember he had a lot of injury problems when he first came. Mm-hmm. But this was a really good game. Like you see the stats on the screen, right? 7 shots, I mean, in a single game.
Yeah.
And even his goal was all him. Like, he intercepts the ball from Diop and he takes it and he wins the pen also for Mbeumo.
Yeah. You could argue that in terms of open play, he's actually a better pick to have compared to Mbeumo. It's just the pens kind of pushes Mbeumo a little bit higher in terms of, you know, which player to get. You take away the pens, you can argue that Wissa is actually the better asset to have from Brentford.
Would you have him over Alvarez, who's 6.5? I think.
Yes, right now, because of the minutes worry that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, with Doku, if,
yeah, if you're sure, 100% sure that Alvarez is going to start, go for it. But, you know, you're not. But you are sure that Wissa is going to start.
Okay, fair enough. I heard that, that now they brought in Doku, they also want to bring in his brother, Su, but they can't add the numbers up.
Who's his brother?
Su.
Su, yep. Doku. Yeah. Okay, Siva. All right.
Okay, so for the people who are still listening.
For everyone who did not turn off the podcast immediately after that pun.
Okay, let's talk midfielders, right? Okay, I think for most people, I think you started off the week wanting to make a forward transfer, unless like you, Sam, you're staying by Watkins. But midfielders has now become an issue, right? We just spoke about Bruno and Rashford at the start. So this is predicted points on the screen now from FPL Review. Once again, we are not sponsored. This is just, you know, we're being nice and we like the points. So I noticed something today morning when I was looking at the screen. Odegaard goes way up because now they think he's on pens. And to be fair, he may be on pens. Like a lot of people have said for a long time that Saka should be taken off pens. Odegaard does not have a history of taking pens. He's taken one pen in his entire career before yesterday. I think like in 2018.
I would think since Arteta said it's not set in stone who is the pen taker and they're deciding on a game-by-game basis or whatever, I would think that Odegaard will take one until he misses and then he'll rotate to someone else in the squad. Kind of like what City did.
Yeah. I did see one theory. People said that because it was Sam Johnston in goal, he plays for England, maybe Saka felt like maybe I should skip this one. Because Saka did take the ball and then gave it to Odegaard.
That is true. They do use the backup keepers to practice pens. In training, they do a lot, so yeah.
And Arsenal play Fulham next week, so that's Bern Leno. So maybe Bern Leno knows where Odegaard goes, so then Odegaard passes. I don't know.
Leno knows where all the Arsenal players are going to kick their pens to.
Oh, but he doesn't know Havertz.
Get a new signing, yeah, like Havertz.
Maybe Havertz takes, maybe Rice takes, but Rice is really bad at pens. Yeah, so who knows? But I still feel like Odegaard's open play threat has been very mixed so far. So like, I think if you own, you hold. But I can't justify a transfer for him this week, even though I want to do it.
I think there are way many more better players to have at a cheaper price, you know, even.
Yeah.
Mbeumo, you've got March and Mitoma. All this first one.
Kara Mitoma's goal, mate. I mean, put some respect on that guy's name. I've heard so many people talk nonsense. I've heard Brighton fans on Twitter and stuff saying, oh, he's been found out in the league. You know, he's predictable.
I think that happens with a lot of players who are perceived as being dribble merchants. You know, they have a period where they're still doing the same thing, just maybe without that end product, that goal or that assist. They're still dribbling, still carrying the ball, still progressing, but you know, once the stats dries up and people who don't watch the games are like, oh, you know, he's been found out. Dribble merchant. But he is actually really, really good, Mitoma. I still stand by what I said, that March is the better player though. The better asset to have from Brighton. If I were to bring in a Brighton player mid, which I am planning to, it would be March.
It does feel like Mitoma is the one with sort of the skills, but March is the one who seems to get more returns just by, you know, being in the box and tapping.
Exactly. And despite his poor finishing, he scored 2 games in a row. So hopefully, you know, he's been taking finishing lessons throughout the summer. Because if he improves his finishing, we talked about it in the first spot, or is it the preview pod, that he had something like less than 10% conversion rate based on shots taken. So he can improve it to like 20%. He's going to end up top scorer. Golden boot.
De Zerbi said at the start of the season he wants March and Mitoma to hit 20 goals. I don't think he's joking. And they are the two people who seem safe from the minutes risks that Pedro and the rest, Enciso, Welbeck, Ferguson all seem to have become. So, yeah. And actually, when you look at Brighton's fixtures, I mean, on paper, yeah, it looks bad because it's not a lot of green. But actually, West Ham, doable. United now looks like a good fixture for attackers. Bournemouth, Villa, Liverpool. It's only just City and Newcastle.
Yeah. And I would say the way Brighton play, they can score against anyone. There's no bad fixture for them unless it's away to City. Because I think a home City at home is maybe the toughest fixture you can play in. So bar that, I think they can score every game. Now, whether they win, then they'll probably concede against better teams. And they have been conceding. But they'll still score. They will still score. So I'm happy to hold my Brighton attackers not named João Pedro.
Yeah, I'm selling João Pedro to enable a future move for Solimarch. I think that's the plan now. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't. I'm going to buy, despite the so-called bad fixtures. I think, you know, they're still worth having. So I'm going to buy a Brighton player this week. Probably.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a differential move, and I think it's worth a shot. I think West Ham still gave up a lot of... I mean, you saw the possession stats earlier on the other screen, right? West Ham had 20% possession. You give that to Brighton, they're going to massacre you, I think. So, we had a question here from FPL Hafiz. Mbomo or Foden? So, I mean, for me, this is a no contest. You get Mbomo because you got pens, but
Foden didn't look good. Minutes. Foden does look good. I mean, every time he plays, he looks good to everyone who's watching except Pep. Because, I don't know. Like I said, Pep, I don't know, he's just... doesn't seem to want to trust Foden fully yet.
Played 90 this week, though.
Yeah, he did. I think the fact that KDB is out really improves his chances because there are not many people in the team who can offer the creativity that Foden does, you know, aside from KDB. So, yeah. But, however, I think Mbemba was still the guy to go. He's cheaper, number one. He's nailed, number two. Number three, he's on pens. I would go and buy more over Foden.
Yeah. I mean, 90 minutes beats a guy with the minutes risk. Although Foden's really sexy. I get it. Because Sheffield and Fulham next. Feels like he should be a transfer in for one of your other mids.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I would double if I could. If I had to choose one, Mbemo first though.
Okay. Let's talk about forwards next. Right. So, okay. I mean... I put this on the screen to just show you how meaningless this stat is. But I see a lot of people talking about XG after the first 2 weeks, like who's got the most. So this is XG and XA for all the forwards we're talking about. Wissa's at the top, then it's Jackson, Alvarez, Isak and Watkins. What I did want to show you from this, Sam, is this is what happens when you don't play 90 minutes.
Sorry, is this...
It's not per 90.
Just game full. Week 2? Or
game week 1 and game week 2.
Okay, all right.
And as you can see, Isak is barely above Watkins and is... less than Jackson or Wissa for XG. And even though Isak has done so well in terms of actual points returns, I think this is the issue with Isak, is that he's just not on the pitch long enough to get enough chances. So I feel like that is going to be an issue as you go forward. Although, like you say, Alvarez could have minutes risks down the line, although he has played 90-90 in the first 2 weeks.
I think he's probably nailed to start this coming week. It's game week 4, game week 5, game week 6 that I'm worried about. And you don't want to book a transfer in. We've seen how unpredictable start of the season can be, right? Injuries, players getting dropped that you didn't expect, and things like that. I would not make a move where I book a transfer out.
Yeah, fair. You're being sensible. I don't like it's boring, but it's sensible.
But based on the graphs, it does really reinforce the point that Wissa might be the best striker to have right now. Best forward.
But so that's actual stats. Now let's look at predicted points, just to sort of, you know, because I wanted something that's a bit broader, because that's a 2 week sample, right? Things happen. So I looked at predicted points for forwards, and as you can see, right, Haaland's at the top, Wissa's at the bottom of the guys we're talking about. He's even lower than Solanke and Pedro.
Wow.
Different. I mean, different models and all that. It's all, you know, predictive, right? It may not, maybe he hasn't caught up yet to Brentford's style of play and all that. Who knows? But the question here we had was from Hayden FPL. He's already done a transfer to get Reece James out for Destiny Udogi. And he wants to know whether he should do João Pedro for hit to either Alvarez or Wissa. So what do you think, Sam? João Pedro, is he that bad that you need to take him out for a hit?
I don't know if he'll start, actually, because Ansico did really well in his place. Perhaps offered more build-up, which is what De Zerbi wants, compared to Pedro. However, Pedro could start as a forward. That's the real uncertainty in the Brighton squad, in the AM forward role.
came on for Welbeck instead of So, and Ferguson only came on later when Enciso had a knock. So you maybe I think a hit is always. I mean, it's not a double game week; it's a single game week. I don't think Wissa and Alvarez are bang on going to haul this week. So I think for a hit, it's probably not worth it. For a free transfer, I'd do it.
Yeah, yeah, same. I think same, because even if Pedro comes on later, there is a chance he can return. It didn't happen this week. In fact, he had 0 points, but there is a chance. There's a chance. I would say it really depends on who your bench is.
Yeah, I think
your team. I don't know.
Yeah, unless you have no playing subs. I mean, I think I'd gamble. And as we say, you know, Pedro could come on and do something. So not worth a hit. But last one on forward, Sam, before we move on. Is it really Isak? Is that really your choice here out of this list, you know, apart from Haaland? Is that really who you'd bring in this week?
Or Wissa. Wissa or Isak, I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
I would avoid Nico because there's a lot of talk of him, being this season's Nunes. He's racking up the XG, but just not finishing. And I get that point. XG is great and all that. It really shows how well they're getting into good positions and how well the team is creating for them. But if they aren't able to finish, then what's the point of having the player in your team? You know, it'll get points for XG. I know I'm contradicting myself with much. But much, you know, much is finishing his chances. Nico Jackson isn't. So, yeah.
One thing I will say about Nico Jackson that is making me wary is he has only played 37 top flight games in his entire career. Like, he's really, really raw. He was playing second division football 2 seasons ago. He was playing on the streets 5 years ago. It's been a very fast rise for him, but it's also one that's not really backed up in terms of like his stats. He was doing fairly mediocre last season in La Liga. He was supposed to join Bournemouth. I don't know if people know this around Christmas. Transfer fell through because of injury, stayed. Then he had a massive explosion in form for Villarreal, started playing up front, scoring every week, and then he got the move to Chelsea. It's all coming very fast for him in a Chelsea team that still doesn't really know how it wants to play. They don't have their main guy. They don't have Nkunku. You have a reason to sort of avoid Jackson this week if you're not certain. Like, it does seem like maybe, you know, new player, new team, new setup, new manager, a lot of new things. Maybe you go with somebody. Like, I think Alvarez for the next 2 weeks is fine. Yes, he's a minute down the line, but playing for a guy who knows him, he's got some trust. He's getting 90 minutes for now. I think that feels like a safer bet.
Yeah. And fixtures-wise, as good as people saying about Chelsea's upcoming fixtures, City has equally good ones, if not better, actually.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, every fixture is a good fixture for City.
And still doesn't feel like it's impossible that Chelsea buy another forward before the window closes.
That was what I was going to say, Siva. I think the first few weeks were kind of like an audition for him. And of course, you know, we don't know how the Chelsea board is thinking, how Poch is thinking. But I wouldn't be surprised if they feel, you know, Nico Jackson is just not ready yet. He's too young to be the main man for now. I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, splash the cash on another 8-year contract for another forward.
They're being linked to Balogun, which would really break FPL. But,
would Arsenal sell to Chelsea? I don't think so.
For Chelsea, 100 million, yeah.
Under 150, maybe.
Yeah, but Balogun would... I think he'd be okay with the move. He's American now. You know, he plays for the USMNT. Bowley would love that, like a marquee.
He still grew up in Arsenal. I mean, money can change minds. Arsenal. Chelsea offering a big contract. I don't think he'll be against it. Don't know about Arsenal though, but like you said, money can change minds. At 40, 50 mil, you wouldn't sell the rival at 120, 130?
Honestly, even at 40, 50, I think Arsenal would sell. I think Arteta is one of those who's very confident about his selections. Like, if he thinks I've got the right guys, he'll be fine selling. And I think even in the Prem, you see, like, Mount went to United and Balogun could go Chelsea, and then that breaks FPL because he's 4.5 mil, and then you're changing your entire. So yeah, I think Alvarez over Jackson slightly for me. And I feel like you can punt on Alvarez. I mean, Sheffield United and Fulham, you assume he starts the next two. I think that is a fair assumption to make. At the very least, he's probably the next one. And if you get that, I mean, those are as good as fixtures as you can get.
Fair enough. Fair enough, Siva.
Yeah, I feel like you're not, unless you have massive fires in your team, I can't imagine, unless you own Gabriel, Stones, and James. Like,
yeah, and Madison, and then your defenders, Baldock.
Yeah. Also, I mean, for me especially, and we look at, okay, this is the fixture difficulty rating chart we have now from Frazier and Lego Mane. And so I look at this and I think I'm probably looking at a game week 8 wildcard. So I'm not really thinking about holding these players till game week 19 or game week 38, you know, just 3-4 weeks. So I want to punt on guys who will give me something in the short term, and then we move on. That's what we're doing with the Brighton guys. That's what you would have done with some of the Brentford guys. Yeah, it's a short-term hold. Any teams here who you want to target that we didn't talk about, you know?
First off, I want to say that not having Pickford was the right decision. And all you guys who... I honestly do not understand why so many people wanted Pickford at the start of the... before the season started. Come on, man.
Anyway... I have nothing to say for myself. I didn't have him in any draft until the final day, and I just... Safety and numbers is what I went with. And Everton will get relegated this season. I mean, they were so bad against Villa. I can't begin to describe how bad they were. All the goals were their mistakes. Like, Villa didn't have to do anything. The fourth goal is just a throw-in, and Ashley Young doesn't control it. Like, he just throws it straight to goal, basically.
Yeah.
I'm half tempted to sell Pickford this week. Like,
I don't know what people are thinking. Like, do they think Dash is a magician? There's only so much he can do.
This is past bias. I mean, this is basically me as well, assuming that it's Dash, Burnley tactics, keepers are good with Dash. Sometimes
Even sign one player that Dash... Did they sign anyone this summer?
They have Keane and Tarkowski, you know, the dream team, but it's it's not working. They haven't signed anybody new, and it does feel like maybe Dyche is just, you know, maybe modern football has passed him by, you know, almost like...
No, I think Dyche could do it if they sign the centre-backs that he wants and things like that, the back four that he wants, the DM that he wants, and you know, but they're not. They're not signing anyone, so you can't expect the team to change when they're the exact same team from last season.
So if I was buying a keeper this week, Sam, because I have a good... starting 10, like, I could make a keeper transfer, as ridiculous as it sounds. Who would you bring in this week?
First of all, I would not make a keeper transfer because expected points, ceiling and stuff like that, you know. I would rather use a transfer, you know, move out João Pedro to Witsa, Alvarez or whatever. But if you were inclined to make a keeper transfer, Flecken, who is my keeper? Good fixture run coming up. We've already talked about Brentford fixtures. Nailed. As Brentford starting number one. Clean sheet this week, although no bonus, which maybe does not make him as good a pick as Raya was last season, because Raya was mopping up bonus every clean sheet they get. But just because he's not as good does not mean he's bad. And there are not really that many options between the 4.5 keepers. Palace's fixture, because Johnston... but there's a lot of talks on Palace wanting to sign Henderson, you know?
Yeah, Dean Henderson, which is
great. So then I'm not sure on his minutes anymore. Apart from that, who else is there who has a reliable team that has reliable chance of clean sheets?
I was going to say Robert Sanchez, but I'm guessing you're going to laugh.
Yeah, I mean, if you got Chilwell, are you going to double up with Sanchez? I don't know. I have Gusto, but only because he's really cheap and he's somewhat nailed, at least until James comes back. And I needed a 4.0. If, you know, the reason why I had to move to Gusto was because I missed everyone else price rise. Most of the 4.5 I wanted moved up to 4.6, and then I was priced out. Minks dropped to 4.4, so then I really couldn't move to anyone, and all I could do was move to a 4.0. Gusto presented himself. But if I had a choice, if I still was at 4.5, I wouldn't have gone Gusto, because I still do think that Chelsea's defense is not worth a double up.
What do you think about Vicario at Spurs? Mm.
Is he 4.5?
He's 5.
A bit too pricey for a team that won't keep any clean sheets.
I mean, it's a good fixture.
They're not playing against United.
yes, that's fair.
What about a team who could actually score will score against them.
So you're not sold on their fixtures. Okay. I mean, no, they look like good fixtures to me.
I'm not going to spend on any 5-point goalkeeper, Siva. Has to be a 4.5.
So I guess I won't ask you to talk about the keeper who has kept 2 clean sheets in the first 2 weeks. The one who shall not be named, who plays for Man City, 5.5 mil. He seems to be putting us in 5. Our place, 5. Right?
It's really expensive. I mean, even if he keeps clean sheets, without bonus, without saves, at the end of a season, a cheaper keeper will always outscore 5.5 keepers. I don't remember any season, except maybe that season where Alisson was doing really well and the season where De Gea was doing really well. I can't remember if they ended up top, but they were close. But even if they're close, even if they finish like just 10 points above someone who's 4.5, that's not worth it. That's not worth the 1 mil, you know?
And I think both those Alisson and De Gea seasons you're talking about, they made a lot of saves because the defenses in front of them weren't very good. So this is not going to happen to Ferguson. I think the solution is...
That is what makes a good keeper.
I think the solution here is just wait until Game Week 8 or Game Week 9 wildcard and then just bring in Areola and Turner. That's your solution.
Yeah, because having 2 4.4 keepers has never backfired against us ever before.
No. Ward and Iverson, long may they live. We have a question here for Thomas Jones, which we're not going to get to because it's going to take too much time, but we will get to it like on a future pod. But let's talk about wildcards, I thought, briefly, Sam, because I got a message from somebody telling me that they were thinking about wildcarding. Yeah.
I am actually thinking about wildcarding, Siva.
There we go. So,
yes.
So for your benefit, Sam,
yeah,
I have prepared a wildcard draft since you didn't send me one. I just went to FPL review and got a wildcard draft for the next from now until Game Week 8. I was bored. What do you think about it? It's got Sanchez, Areola, Udogie, Chilwell, Botman, Diaz, Colwill.
I have a lot of problems with this wildcard draft, Siva. Because
I'm finished. For the pod listeners, right? Bruno Fernandes, Odegaard, Rashford, and Mbeumo, Saka, Haaland, Alvarez, and for giggles and laughs, Raul Jimenez, who is now nailed. Since Mitrovic has gone to Saudi Arabia. Okay, Sam, let's talk to me about the issues with this wildcard draft and what's your wildcard draft looking like?
First of all, there are 3 Chelsea defenders in this team. Sanchez, Chilwell and Colville. That's a bit too many Chelsea defenders. Ruben Dias, nailed but really expensive with pretty much no, almost very low chance of attacking returns. I don't know how I feel about that. I think... you could get one of the 5.0 defenders. Are there?
Akanji? Akanji is, I think, 5.1 now, though.
Akanji. I mean, Akanji seems nailed. He has started almost every single game he has been fit for the past, like, I don't know, 50 games or whatever it is, except for that period where Pep was rotating for the Champions League final. But other than that, Akanji seems nailed. I would think Guardiola is nailed because Laporte has left and there are not many... lefts. There's only him and Ake now. Left-legged centre-backs in the team.
Left-footed, mate. Left-footed. Everybody's got left leg. I mean, they've all got
left. I was like, left... what's the word? Leg? Yeah. Anyway. Other than that, okay with the defence. 2 United midfielders. No Brighton midfielders. I don't know. And Raul Jimenez, really?
I mean, that's the bench forward. Don't focus on Raul Jimenez. I knew you were going to focus on all the bench players. Okay, what's your wildcard draft looking like, mate? Since you didn't send me one. Let's.
I don't have one. In your head.
It's okay. Just going to come to you.
Haaland, Wissa, probably. Pretty much every single player we've talked about. I would have March. I would have Mbeumo. I would get rid of all my United players, I think. Because if you're talking about Waka, you've got to look longer than just this one fixture that's next. Yeah. I would have Saka still. Yeah. Maybe would even double up Mitoma and March. I think they look good. Mbeumo.
Feels like you're picking, sorting by points, Sam.
No, because it's the team. Brentford has good fixtures coming out. It's not just chasing last week's point, I think. And obviously, they're not going to get 15, 16 points every week. But I think in the next 5 fixtures, they still have a good chance of being, hauling in the next 5 weeks. However, I told you, I considered a wildcard, but I'm not going to go through it. I think it's way too early. And I might take a hit minus 4, maybe up to minus 8, maybe. But that's as much as I will go, I think. I think with a minus 4, I could probably fix and have a team that I'm happy with. So therefore, not worth a full wildcard at this stage.
I would say a minus 4 is worth it. Like, if you feel your team needs urgent changes, a minus 4 is, you know, it's one assist, right? Like, mm-hmm. effectively, give or take.
Or 4 games.
Or 4 depending games, on yeah.
Worst case scenario, 4 1-pointers.
Depending who it is, yeah. But I mean, it unless you need such wholesale changes, I feel like I would... You just want to know more information and you want more things to change. You want more players to get injured, more players to get sold. Not enough has changed from Gaming 1 to now for me to think a wildcard would be necessary for anybody. And basically, this week, you had a bad week if you didn't own Mitoma, Mbomo, or Estupinan. Then you had a bad week if you didn't own all three of those.
The beauty of them is that they're so cheap. You could have all of them this week with a minus 4. If you really, really want them in your team, just take a minus 4 and, you know, anyone can do it. It's so easy to do it. They're so cheap.
Yeah. I really don't think funds is a big deal this year.
I think the threshold to make a wild card is maybe 5 transfers.
We're talking five to your starting 11. Yeah.
Like, and your bench are terrible. You need to make 5 changes. Yeah, I would think you make a wild card move. Okay. Anything below that, just take a hit.
Good, Sam. I'm glad you've a very measured response, I think. That's good to see. Okay, let's wrap up. Captaincy. Is this even... I mean, I put this whole... All this data from FPL Review. Is it really necessary? We're not even discussing captaincy this week, are we?
Yeah. I'm captaining Rashford. Who is second in terms of in the review score right there.
Why, mate? Why? Why do you like this pain? Why must you be like this?
Look at Haaland this week. Totally ineffective. Useless player. He's been found out.
He's at Sheffield United.
Goal-scoring merchant. He's just a goal-scoring merchant, that's all.
Haaland's at Sheffield United. Like, he's odds on. He's got everything. All the stats, everything. It's one of the worst teams in the division.
Yeah, no, I'm joking. I'll captain Haaland, I think.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I can never tell with you. I mean, the review scores are quite close, but no, I mean, for me, even against Newcastle, he had chances. It's just one of those. He didn't go in on the day, but he still looks so threatening. Easy decision this week, which is annoying because I'm actually going to see Arsenal v Fulham, like, live. And so people would say that.
Why don't you captain an Arsenal player, Siva?
Yeah, so see, people would say that, right? You have to go. Yeah. I don't want
to. Go your heart.
Yeah, but City is playing at the same time as Arsenal are playing at home against Fulham. So I don't want to be watching the Arsenal game and then my phone goes off and then Haaland's got a hat-trick
and I'm just sitting there. Don't check your phone, Siva. Enjoy the game. Don't check your phone. And just enjoy the points rolling in. Imagine if you captain Saka and he scores another banger. Wow. The feeling, Siva. Come on. You got to chase the highs. Don't be afraid of the lows.
I mean, I'm more concerned about owning the wrong Arsenal mid. Like, I got Havertz and Saka right now. And imagine if Odegaard scores a hat-trick or Martinelli scores. And I'm going to be standing there. I want to cheer, but then like I know about my team. And
yeah. Your Harvard's propaganda was very short-lived, Siva. I have to say.
I'm telling you, it'll work. It's this Nketiah thing that I hadn't factored in. I don't know why he suddenly likes Nketiah. Like, he didn't he didn't seem to rate him for quite a while last season. Suddenly, he's fallen in love with him again. And Nketiah messes up the whole team, mate. He scores goals, but he messes up everything else.
As a Martinelli owner, I 100% agree. Get him out.
He's our Ronaldo, basically. You know, like how you all felt for Ronaldo. And Nketiah's like that. He scores, but I mean, he's just messing up the whole team.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
Yeah. I don't think it's a good point, but thank you anyway.
No, I mean, it's true. He scores, but it's just the team plays differently with him.
Yeah.
But hoping that he's dropped.
We didn't speak about it. Would you get Nketiah in this week? You know, if you only had double Arsenal.
No, I think it's coming. Arsenal has been winning, but not convincingly. Not playing to their full potential. And I hope Arteta can see that. And I think it's just a matter of time until Nketiah has dropped for someone else.
You think so? I mean, I agree with you that we're not playing to our full potential. But I feel like he likes him. Like, he's gonna keep rolling with this. Annoyingly so. And Fulham are awful. They have conceded more XG than any team in the division. after two games. Oh.
So maybe you should captain Saka then, because they have considered more XG. Come on, Siva. Convince yourself. You're giving me the stats.
The small sample sizes, mate. Let's start. But yeah, okay. So you're not convinced that I get you. Okay, I'll leave it at that. I think that's all for me this week, Sam.
Oh, I do want to raise. Sterling looked really good. Sterling looked really good. I'm not going to bring him in just yet, but definitely one to watch. If he nails down the place, which I think he has, because they don't really have anyone else who can play there. And I think Poch is utilizing him really well. So if he does go on a run of scoring, definitely one to monitor Sterling.
I mean, one to monitor, mate. He's at home to Luton. I mean, if you think he looks good, this is the week.
I like my players to actually do something first before I bring them in.
Chasing points, Sam. Chasing points.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so I think that's it for this week. We'll see how things go next week. We may or may not have. I'm traveling, but we'll try and find time to make a game week 4 preview. But in the meantime,
get your green arrows, guys. Have a good week and take care. Oh, this is big.